Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We have a busy, busy show today. We have Steve Bellis is going to be in studio with us here in about 15 minutes. Steve Bellis has been reassigned as the head football coach at Hamilton High School because of hazing allegations around the football program. The police report has not been released as of yet for the investigation. And he is no longer the coach at Hamilton, at least for this year. And he has not done any interviews. He has not done anything. And he has agreed to come sit in studio here with me. And we will have that in about 15 minutes. We'll talk with Steve Bellis about what I'm sure there's some areas that we cannot get into because of the legal side of things. But he's doing this interview, and I have no conditions thrown at us because I just don't do interviews when that happens. It's not the way it works on this show. Hey, you got to ask our client that, no, that's not happening. You have to stay away. No. You know, we are not PR firms for teams or, you know, disguised as radio stations. That's not how it works. So we'll have Steve Bellis with us. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is going to be on the show today. We're talking about one of the greatest names, one of the greatest players in the history of college basketball at UCLA and in the NBA as well. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in studio, or rather by phone today. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 6 NBA titles and 3 NCAA championships and much more. We'll have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on today's show. Very much looking forward to that. So Steve Bellis here shortly and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. All right. Last night I went and saw Pirates of the Caribbean. Man, oh man, gosh almighty. It was an IMAX. I had to wear 3D glasses. It was packed. It starts on Friday. If you're into Pirates, it's probably better than the last one. There's just a lot of bombs, a lot of boats. So I'm just getting that out of the way. Go see it. We'll talk to Bill tomorrow about it. Good at the movies. The Diamondbacks won again last night. And Jake Lamb and Chris Herman, the Herminator, hit one out last night. Diamondbacks are 20-8 at home, and they win another series. And they do it in, nail-biting fashion. Rodney came in and saved his 11th. Lamb hit his 11th. And Chris Herman hit his out as well, as mentioned. So that was interesting. I did watch back this morning, Cleveland and Boston. You might be asking why, after you've been all over this series about the level of basketball. Well, I wanted to see Kyrie Irving last night. When I saw 42 and LeBron at 34, now the stories about LeBron being sick and the game that they lost and all that are being leaked out. And it's fine if he was. It's fine. But 33 points for Kyrie Irving in a 19-minute stretch. Cleveland, though, is still going to lose to Golden State. I'm going to call that one, Eric, as we're just sitting here throughout the rest of this month, because we're not going to see the final start till June 1st. I think it's like a week from tomorrow they'll start.
It's a real bold prediction.
I know, going out on a limb, right?
The Warriors over the Cavs.
I woke
the Warriors
up this
are going to win the title. Breaking news.
I woke
play
up this
the sounder.
Dun, 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 dun. I woke up this morning and said, I'm going to say something really controversial on the air. I'm going to say something like, the Warriors are...
You are a talk show host. We pay you to give opinions.
That's what they say.
Go out on limbs. Ah, the mid-segment water break.
Hey, you
that's a
do
first
that.
On this show.
You want me to do more?
No.
It's the Steve Bellis thing.
No. We don't need to give that company any more free advertising.
I know, right?
Show.
You guys writing a check?
You have to do like in the NBA where they rip all the labels off the water bottles.
No, that's a good call. Let me just do this. I'm probably going to spill this all over myself, which would be great. I'll just hide it here. How's that? Does that make you happy? Does this work for you?
Whatever.
Celtics
gave that game away last night, by the way. They were up double digits. They were still up single digits going in fourth, late third, and then...
It's an implosion.
Yep.
Do you care about the owners in the NFL shortening overtime? We talked about it yesterday. We talked about it last week, how it's a joke.
It's fine. I mean, it doesn't really... It doesn't... How many overtime games out of all the games that are played going overtime?
5.
Yeah. It's not, to me, it's not a huge deal.
Do you care about
if the NFL is making it a big deal, then clearly it must be a big deal.
Do you care about the end zone celebrations?
I like that. Yeah, I'm for those.
So if we're talking about the Cardinals, like, does David Johnson do much in the way of celebrating when he scores? No. Fitz sometimes loses his mind.
I mean, John Brown does his dance, which is amazing, and they should allow him to do it if he wants it, because it doesn't last long.
Well, last year he didn't do it much. So if he wants to do it this year, that's fine.
True.
That's fine.
But, I mean, you remember, Brad, back in the day, I mean, you had, like, Butch Johnson with the guns. You had the Fun Bunch with the Redskins. You had
Billy White Sue's Johnson, man,
doing the dance. Dana Brinson and the Cabbage Patch Dance and all these other things that happened in college in the NFL game. And all of a sudden, just, it's time to bring back the fun.
Tom Brady, his concussions don't make it on the injury report, but some poor sap is going to try doing a celebration thing and pull a groin, hamstring, break a nail, something. It'll end up on the injury report. How'd you hurt yourself? In front of my mirror at home. Something like that. You see Odell Beckham's story?
I did not.
So Odell Beckham is going to make $3.3 million this year to catch a football. That's fine. He deserves to make $3.3 million. He's very good at what he does. The bigger story here, Eric, is that he's going to make $5 million a year to wear shoes.
Mm.
So he's going to make more money to put the shoes on versus catching a football. So Nike signed Odell Beckham to a 5-year, $25 million deal for his shoe contract. I kind of like this. What is more important in the way of making money? Is it going out and sweating and working in the locker room and practicing your craft and running your outs and your curls and your crossings and everything? Work on your game. Work on your hands. Or let me slap these bad boys on my feet. Let me tie them up and we'll pay you more money for that than playing on Sundays. I like that story. It's not one that you see very often. I don't get the Pac-12 not letting U of A play UCLA in basketball in Pauley Pavilion next year. So the Pac-12 basketball schedules are set, and it's being leaked out that ASU and U of A, actually I'd heard this a few months back, but now it's becoming official, that ASU and U of A are not going to go to LA this year, and they will not host the Washington schools this year. I am fine with not seeing Washington State here because they're never good, although they beat ASU last year on a Sunday afternoon at noon. I actually went to that game. There was nobody there. I mean, nobody there. But no UCLA and USC. And you would think that that ASU would just go crazy and U of A over this because they recruit Los Angeles. You kidding me? You're taking away an opportunity for the University of Arizona Wildcats to play at UCLA on ESPN in primetime or on CBS in primetime. So this story makes me scratch my head on the business side of sports. I just don't quite get that. Why would you go that route? Carson Palmer was doing an interview yesterday with Rich Eisen, going back over to the NFL.
You think first blush of the news out of the NFL league meeting that overtime is now going to be five fewer minutes. What do you think of that idea?
I like it. I didn't know that. That's the first I've heard of it.
Okay, I'm breaking news.
But I like it. It makes sense. I've been in some long overtime games, and it's a long season. There's a lot of plays in each game. If you can shorten those up and get a win out of it, without having to play so many plays, get you ready to play next week and recover. I like it. I'm a fan of it.
Well, the idea of it is that, yes, it is born out of player safety. And just hearing what a lot of fans are thinking about it, even Josh Norman of the Redskins said yesterday that it appears to be a drop in the bucket, though, when it comes to keeping players fresh. You would say opposite. First blush.
Well, the less plays you play, the fresher you are. The less plays you play, the less opportunities you have to get an injury. The quicker your body recovers for the next week. So, you know, I'm sure these young 22, 23-year-old guys that come in the league could care less, but being a more experienced player in this league with more years, I like trying to stay as fresh as possible. And
so there you go, trying to stay fresh as possible. It's Carson Palmer, and that was yesterday. Steve Bellis in studio next, reassigned as head football coach in early April at Hamilton. He has not spoken out on this entire hazing situation, has not talked to anybody in person, has texted a few, but we'll have him in studio next as the police in Chandler Unified School District are investigating the hazing scandal. The results of that investigation will be released in the coming weeks, if not sooner. Steve Bellis, 4 state titles he has won at Hamilton. That's next. Then Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I'm Brad Sussmat. Steve Bellis is known in the college and high school coaching circles in our state as someone who gets it done on the field and off it for his kids at Hamilton High School. But that all changed earlier this year. Steve was reassigned as head football coach in early April after allegations of hazing surfaced around the Hamilton football program. The titles that he's won, and it's been many, They've all been pushed over to the side. Steve Bellis has not spoken out yet on this situation or his future or any questions at all, but he has agreed to come in studio and visit with us for a few minutes. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
If you were to sum up the last 4 months, what would you say?
I think for not just myself, but the Hamilton program, probably hell on earth, you know, would be a good way of summing it up in real simple terms because of actions of a few and what it's done to the many. It has been totally unfortunate and something that we never saw and has been something that I think has unified that group of kids based on the coaches I've talked to. And, you know, hopefully it's a rallying cry for them this year and unfortunate for the kids that did this to the kid, to the victims it happened to, too. So it definitely was something hard to go through. Like I said, not just for me, but for the program. And I think it's just moving forward now.
When were you first made aware that there was an issue?
Well, not so much an issue because we didn't know. I think the first time we knew something, there was some officers on our campus interviewing kids. And so we asked what's going on, and they said there's an investigation. And it was pretty tight-lipped what it was about. And, you know, eventually it got back to some stuff, maybe bullying was going on. But even to this day, we don't know yet because the whole investigation's not over at this time. So there's still a lot of unknowns out there. And I think that's probably most of the reason I am where I am today because the case is still open.
So from a timeline perspective, Steve, February? There's the officer showed up on campus there about
January. February, and so it was just little hints of something was going on, but we weren't sure what was going on, you know, and then eventually you found out this was going on, and then actually the day there was arrest at Hamilton and at Chief Hill, it was totally a surprise. We had no idea that was going on.
In your space, what was your reaction on that day when you heard what was going on?
I think disbelief, and I couldn't believe it because we thought really the case had been shut because we didn't think there was anything there. Every time we had talked to a kid or even to our group, there was nothing. And so that part of it was very difficult because we felt if there was something going on and maybe if the leaders knew about it, they would come to us. And that never happened. But I don't know if they knew either. Mm-hmm. So I think the only ones who knew were the ones who were either the victims or the ones who were doing it. And they, of course, never stepped forward.
And the victims never came to you. Because I'm going to go through the list of what I've heard in the last 4 months, what people have asked me. How can a head coach of a program not No, that's been the most commonly asked question of me, and I'm sure you've rolled that through your head more than a few times.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair question. I mean, I think if we would have known, we would have taken action. There's no question. We would not have swept something like this under the rug. We would have taken immediate action. But if you don't know and you have asked the questions to the people, some of the people it actually might have happened to, and they're saying no to you, I mean, we're football coaches, we're teachers, we're not investigators, and we're trying to get to the bottom of it. But when you simply get no, 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 and you're like, okay, then this must just be a lot of hearsay and stuff like that. And so it wasn't we heard a lot or anything like that, but we heard a few things, but nothing with the kids that we thought might have been involved with it. Nothing was concrete, and there wasn't any indication there was anything going on.
17 months this investigation goes back. Does that number gnaw at you or keep you up at night?
It does because there's so many unknowns with that 17 months they're talking about. Are they talking about a specific kid from when he was a freshman to when he is a junior? Mm-hmm. It would be more concerning to me if it was seniors doing it to underclassmen, which all indications right now that isn't the case. And so, but we don't know because we haven't got that information, and so there's not a lot to go on there. And until we know that, really, I can't comment on that.
Sure. And it's a police investigation that is ongoing. The report will come out sometime. Could be in the next week, could be further than that. It's just up in the air. It's unknown at this point. That's what we're – that's my understanding. Are you hearing the same thing?
Yeah, I think that's kind of why I've still been on leave, is for the simple reason that that isn't concluded. I was the captain of the ship. I'm the one being held responsible. And, you know, that's just the way it goes when you're the guy in charge.
Let me go back into the locker room area. So at Hamilton High School, you cannot see into the locker room. And coaches cannot be, in my view, it's unrealistic to think that coaches can be there all day, every day, to see every last thing that goes on. That's just my view. Is the locker room, the way that it's set up, is that a problem from your view? Was it a problem that led to this?
Well, if all of these things happen in a locker room, it definitely would be a problem. The setup is just not conducive to supervision the whole time. Because if you go on most of the high school locker rooms, there's windows into where the coach's office are. Mm-hmm. So there's always that visual thing. And unfortunately, the way ours was constructed, there wasn't. Once again, we still don't know where all this took place. It could have been in the weight room. It could have been in the locker room. All indications are pointing toward the locker room, mm-hmm. but we don't know that. Of course, coaches made trips through the locker room and go in before and after practice. But as you know, a locker room is a place where, you know, I remember high school and college, you'd hang out there an hour after practice. And unless a coach is going to be in there based on what happened, I don't think that's going to be something that will be happening at Hamilton anymore. I think there'll be kind of time limits in and out and shutting that down. Because, one, you can't have cameras in the locker room. So either you plan a coach in there full time or you have time limits on how long they can be in there.
The whole topic, Steve, of hazing. So this is a murky one because I have people that will say that it's the football culture. You want to have some fun. You want to get closer to one another. It helps team building. Those people typically are your age and my age, right around 50. Mm-hmm. Anybody younger than that, that's a blanket statement, but people that are younger than that say the word hazing just means everything is bad. There's no place at all for anything at all in this day and age. So let's just talk about the hazing side of it and what is acceptable. Obviously, this was not. I'm just curious from your view of where do you see that in a football, high school football locker room or as part of a team? Not even locker room.
I don't even think anything like that's not acceptable anymore.
Sure.
In our society. I think it's been frowned upon and everything. I mean, you still see within pro players, rookies coming in and getting taped up to a goalpost. That would be hazing. That would not be something that would be acceptable.
Sing the fight song from their college.
Yeah.
I mean,
that to me is all good and fun. I mean, mm-hmm. you're just – okay, that to me isn't hazing. You're not forcing a guy to do it. They're just going to do it because, hey, I'm a rookie, kind of. But I don't think it's – but when you start getting into the sexual means of it, that's criminal. And it's not just hazing. It's assault. It's every bad thing you can think of within the realm of hazing, bullying, whatever you want to call it. There's no place for it in high school sports. And I think you're seeing it come out more. I mean, Paradise Valley had to go through this. Mountain Ridge High School with the wrestling program had to go through it. Hamilton's having to go through it.
I saw stories of hazing on the back of school buses in the late 1980s online here in Arizona down by the border. We saw in Texas. I mean, hazing is not just one high school in our country. It is something that is a major, major issue. Have you heard from any of your former players on this?
No. I mean, if I go back and we'd ask former players, I mean, and I've talked to a few of them, you know, it's coach, that never happened. So this going back 3 years, and I mean, even a few of the kids had coaches on our team, and they said nothing like that happened. So, you know, I want to see the facts of that, mm-hmm. where it's coming out. And like I said, that's on hold right now until the investigation's over. But I can't assume that it's as widespread as people are making it out to be. But we'll have to wait and see. And it's if it is, then once again, I was captain of that ship, and I'll take responsibility in terms of being the captain of the ship. But knowing of anything going on, I think myself and all the other coaches included, that's a definite no on that. And if any coach would have known, I'm sure they would have came to me and let me know. But that never happened.
You never had a chance to talk to your team?
No, I did not.
Is that something you wish you would have been allowed to do?
Well, it's something that I think the district said when there's a good time for it, I think that'll happen. There's nothing worse than something taken away from you that you love to do, to coach and to teach kids and to do all that and to work with coaches that you've had strong friendships with, and it just ripped out from underneath you. It's been one of those things that is a learning process, and it just shows you how much you really care about something when you don't have it.
Yeah. How have you handled all this, Steve?
Well, I'll be honest. My wife has been tremendous. My daughter, who goes to Hamilton, who's going to be a junior coming up here, they've been my rock, to be honest with you. Some of the coaches have been outstanding, too, and some of the friends outside the program have been rocks as well. And I think it really closes your inner circle a little bit, and truly your friends come out. And I think the coaching community has been great from other coaches as well. I think everybody knows that this could be my school this happened to, because what you just said earlier, you're not around kids 24/7. It seems though we're responsible for them 24/7. And you got to make good decisions as head coaches, and it's and some of those decisions are real tough.
When you're by yourself, you get in that little mental box on this whole story, this whole situation?
Oh, sure. I mean, there's stuff you know, but I don't know what I would have done different because we didn't know. I think I can firmly say that at night when I put my head on my pillow. And if we would have known this was going on with the – and remember, this is a few. This is a very few kids doing this, where the other 98% of our kids are fantastic, especially when you have 250 kids in your program. So, you can see what a little infection can do to a whole not just a football program, but a whole community.
That's well put. You're going to teach, at least in August. You've been offered to teach. Have you accepted that position?
I have.
At Hamilton.
At Hamilton. And we'll just see. Nothing's for sure with my coaching at Hamilton. I think until, like I said, that investigation's done. Then that'll be another meeting to be had. But, we'll see where I am at that point, and, definitely keep all my options open at this point.
It would seem to me, Steve, that the idea of returning at this point seems like a long shot, and I'm being kind. The police report hasn't come out yet.
Yes.
So until the police report comes out, but even with what has happened, and now Dick Banaszewski, who you're very close to, would it be hard for you to go back?
I don't know. Like I said, I think I have a lot of good friends there. The kids are fantastic. They're hard workers. Those are the coaches. I mean, that's basically my staff there. So, like I said, I that's a tough one right now. I can't really answer that question because I don't know. I'm not presented with that opportunity or that situation. That's why I say I'm just going to keep all options open at this point.
You looking at college?
I think so. I mean, but you got to have the right fit there too. You know, somebody that you really want to work with, that would be something that I would entertain and keep those options open to, too, as well.
Right now you're reassigned. Let's just say police report comes out. You're sitting there teaching at Hamilton. It takes you to Friday nights starting in August. First time in how many years that you will not be on a sideline coaching or playing your entire life, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for Friday or Saturday, and then going back to youth football. It's been since 74, if you really want to go back that
Have
far.
Have you thought about it?
It would be different. You know, my nephew's the defensive coordinator at Hamilton, so I support him 100%, you know, along with other coaches there. And my brother and I, my oldest brother, were really close, along with my other brother. But I think that will be a thing that would be hard to do, sitting in the crowd with my brother. But I will definitely I would support that. If it happened, that would be a very difficult situation just to be a spectator.
Maybe be part of the game. Maybe be an analyst. Maybe sit up in the broadcast booth.
Yeah, maybe it's something like that. Just stay busy and keep involved with football this year.
I appreciate you coming in. I'm sure there's more chapters to come on the story, and I appreciate you taking the time to come in and talk about it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Steve Bellis with us in studio. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Thanks for being back with us. Thanks again to Steve Bellis. Eric, we've got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar here in about 9-10 minutes. What do you think of Steve?
Pretty transparent. At least on the surface, he appeared honest. Now, when the police report comes out, what he said and what the police report is saying could be completely different.
Sure.
But the fact that he would drive up here, come in studio, sit down with you for 15 or 20 minutes, talk about not only the past but the present and also a little bit about his future, I thought was really interesting.
I think that, again, when the police report comes out, I was expecting a lot more of, I cannot discuss that.
Legally, it'd be best if I didn't answer that question.
Right, no, and we've been in that space before where that's happened.
But it was pretty telling that he only said that maybe once or twice from what I remember. And I think regardless of what happens, this is just my personal opinion, Brad. I think if he wants to coach again, he's gonna be able to coach again. That's just my personal opinion.
See, and I felt like going down that path, I did a little bit, but until the report comes out, the final report comes out, because you don't know what's behind door number three, right? There could be dozens of people, right? Or there could be no more people. You just don't know on this. So,
but in defense of Coach Bellis, I've never been inside the Hamilton locker room. But if the Hamilton locker room is as closed off and isolated as you make it sound, and he makes it sound like it is, I'm just saying, kids are going to be kids. And as sad and horrible as this situation was, if you're in an isolated situation and the kids are doing what they're doing, and the coaches are on a whole nother part,
right? Well, and that's why when everybody just blanket statements, the coach has to know everything that's going on 24/7, 365. That's such a load of crap. That's just not real in this day and age.
And it's different.
This day and age with social media, that's just not going to happen. It takes one kid who comes in, who's had issues. That's it. That's all it takes for any coach that's out there.
And it's much different in college, because college staffs are so much bigger than high school staffs, and they have people on college football staffs
full-time.
All they do is basically monitor what's going on inside the locker room.
Quality control.
Correct. Are the kids going to class? Are they staying out of trouble? Be on their social media. Make sure everything's fine. In high school, that can get away, but you're still dealing with. I mean, how many players play for Hamilton? 100? 95? 110 kids on their roster? It's a lot of kids to watch.
And I can't tell you how many coaches, college and high school. This isn't just a high school story. This is a societal story that have said that could happen to me just as easily as it happened to Steve.
And he
Bellis.
Said it. I mean, he said the coaching community has been great and supportive, and a lot of coaches
not everybody
have kind
likes
of
Steve.
Well, but a lot of coaches looked in the mirror and said, "You know what? I might have to lock down on this, because this is something
Absolutely.
That could easily happen at our program."
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar here in a few minutes. All right. Did you see the? There's a story here. So last night, I go see Pirates of the Caribbean with my wife. And tomorrow, Goody and I are going to go through the review of it. Go see it in IMAX. Go put on the 3Ds. That's all I'll say on that. I see today where they're remaking Top Gun. And was Top Gun really that good? Great
yes.
Balls of Fire. Was it that good?
Sure. But
Serious?
That was a long time ago.
Don't you think that the script of this is going to be Tom Cruise is like 80,
yeah,
and he's going to run, because Tom Cruise runs in every movie, and he moves his arms up and down really fast.
But
he does.
But he doesn't look 80. He still
no,
looks
he
the
look
exact
80.
Same as he did when he taped the first Top Gun.
Your wife would walk in there and say, "Oh, he's hot."
No. Too short.
Really? Like last night, my wife's drooling over Johnny Depp. It was embarrassing.
She's more of the Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Gosling?
Ryan Gosling, yeah. It's more her speed.
Tom Cruise will be some old retired instructor. He'll find out some deep dark secret about his dad who was shot down that they referred to. He'll hook up with Goose's wife, and they'll call it a day. They'll put an hour 45. They'll put some credits, right? They'll have a jukebox with some new songs. It's really simple.
It'll make a ton of money. It'll probably be horrible.
I was in high school when that came out. That movie changed some people's lives. They're like guys that said, I am going to go be a Top Gun pilot. Just because of Tom Cruise and how cool he seemed.
On a local scene, yeah. Maverick Gomez, the former quarterback over at Verado, who's now going to Arizona Christian, was named after Maverick and Top Gun.
That's right. No, that's a good story.
Yep.
It's a good story. Mom and dad named their kid Maverick after Maverick and Top Gun. Nicely done. All right, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is next. We were just having fun here today on the show. And we'll talk with the Hall of Famer Kareem Abdul-Jabbar about his new book. That's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Tonight, our television show, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, 18 airings on Fox Sports Arizona through the week before and after the Diamondbacks game. Peter King, one of our guests with the Monday Morning Quarterback. He is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, six-time NBA champion, three-time NCAA champ. 50-year friendship with John Wooden had him decide to go write this book, Coach Wooden and Me. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar joins us live for a couple of minutes. Kareem, it's Brad Sussmat. How are you?
Everything's good, Brad. How's it going?
It's great. Great. Great hearing your voice. We've had you on out here before when you've been up in the res doing some things. And, of course, through the years, just talking basketball. And now you've decided to write this book, Coach Wooden and Me. Talk about John Wooden, the impact, and why this book.
I decided to do this book because Coach Wooden had such a profound influence on my life. And everybody understands, you know, what a capable coach he was. But there was so much more to the man. And I wanted to talk about how that person affected me and who that person was. Because a lot of people don't understand that person. You know, the things that happened that were private, that, you know, happened in the past or away from the public spotlight were very meaningful. And so I share those things and let people understand the man.
You know, it's interesting, Kareem, the idea of you, an English major, he was an English teacher, guys pouring yourselves into one another, so to speak, or did he pour into you initially?
Well, you know, it was really relaxed, and we just had stuff to talk about that had nothing to do with hoops.
Yeah.
And it made for an easy ability to get to know and understand each other.
Did you talk race with him?
Didn't talk about it, but he saw things that ended up making him have to react. And, you know, some of the things that he saw appalled him. I described one incident where a woman described me as the N-word to him. And, you know, he just, within my earshot, very unthinking. But, you know, that type of arrogance and dismissal of people of color was very commonplace then.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you came from New York out to California completely
but
different.
My experiences had given me, you know, a thick skin, and I dealt with it. But Coach had never seen anything like that, and he was appalled, and he didn't have the words to talk to me about it. It's one of the few times I ever saw him confounded, and he said, "Look, don't let the ignorance and hostility of one person turn you against all people." And, you know, I figured that out by that point, but he was sometimes astonished by how cruel and thoughtless people can be.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with us, the Hall of Famer. Coach Wooden and Me is the book. He joins us for a couple of minutes. How did he help you become a parent?
Well, he definitely helped my parenting skills. I found myself, in trying to deal with my responsibilities as a parent, I found myself using some of his techniques.
Hmm.
You know, at practice, when we thought that, you know, we were going to show the old man and do it our way, and we would fail, and then he would point that out, much to our embarrassment, and then teach us. And I found myself doing that with my kids, and inwardly I'm smiling because I said, there's Coach again.
You know? Yeah. The pyramid of success, was that something that he instilled in you? I'm a teacher when I'm not doing this to media students, and I put the pyramid of success up in front of them because I think, Kareem, there's something there. There's a lot of things there for them to grab onto. I'm just curious, did you learn the pyramid of success from him, and is that part of this book too?
I learned the pyramid of success from him, but not by looking at that thing. I couldn't make sense out of it. I thought he was a Mason, and it was some type of Masonic thing that he was. I had no idea what it was, but going to practice every day, you got that same structure. You learned it through basketball, and it was life lessons. I've used those lessons in being able to help and be there for the people that I care about throughout my whole life. Anybody that I feel a bond with that is my teammate, some of Coach Wooden's thoughts and tactics are there and enabling me.
If you had not met John Wooden, if John Wooden had not come into your life, where would you be today, do you think?
I think I would have been a successful athlete.
Sure.
But I don't know how successful a person I would have been, mm-hmm. And those are different structures entirely.
Before I let you go, NBA playoffs, a lot's been said, a lot's been written that these aren't very competitive, that's all leading towards Cleveland and Golden State. Just curious, Kareem, your view of the playoffs postseason in today's basketball.
Well, I think if Cleveland and Golden State, since that seems to be what it's going to be, it's a good matchup. It will be interesting. I'm sure people will enjoy what they see because you got two very talented teams out there.
And do you get back to Arizona much? I think the last time you and I visited, you had been up on the reservation. That was years and years ago. Have you been back much? Yeah, it's been a long time.
I have been back one or two times. I haven't had much chance to get back, but I occasionally hear from my friends up there in White River.
Yeah.
Kyle Gokalish, the captain of the team when I coached the team, he's now the coach up there. So yeah. I'm very happy for Kyle, and I want to wish him good luck. And tell the Falcons I'm still rooting for him.
Yeah, people may not be aware, but Kareem was very involved up in White River, up on the reservation, and in really getting basketball on the map up there. He was already there, but really giving a face to the game. And that was like, what 20, 25 years ago now, I think.
98, 99. Yeah, just, 18 years?
18 years, wow. Something like that. Long time. Time flies. Hey, good luck with the book. I appreciate the visit and the time. Thanks.
It was a pleasure, Brad. You take care of yourself.
You got it, Kareem. See you.
All right.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the new book, Coach Wooden and Me. Anything with John Wooden, I just go over the top on. If I see Coach Wooden, we are stopping the show. Eric, do you know Pyramid of Success? Have you ever seen that? Do we practice that here at the show?
I am familiar with it. No.
If I tested you on it, would you get any of the blocks right?
I heard that when you were a professor at ASU, you kind of used that as...
It's part of the final. It's part of the final. They all failed. That's why
I'm far more in favor of Pyramid of Success than I am a pyramid scheme.
Well, there's no scheme here.
No.
It's very good stuff. All right, our show is done for the day. Justin Toscano. Can we get a shot of Justin real quick? I think he's sitting over in the position where Steve was sitting earlier. Justin is our intern this semester, and he's been sitting in here taking. There's Justin. You just wave. That's a good look. Yeah, thank you very much. All right, you can get rid of Justin now. Justin's our intern. He's doing a terrific job. He's going to be a rock star someday. Jared Nielsen and Edwin Rodriguez, co-chairmen of the board, flying the ship, and Eric Sorensen, our senior executive vice president of nothing or everything, depending on the day. I'm Brad Sussmat. We'll see you tomorrow.